Our Father in heaven, it is with humbleness that we come before thee this afternoon, and we would just ask thee for help in this next half hour as thy word is opened and some comments are made on it. We would thank thee for the time that each one of us has had to enjoy thy presence this morning, gathered together to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would thank thee for thy love that has been shown towards us, thy mercy that has reached down and plucked us from an eternity without thee. And we thank thee for the place that grace has brought us to be made sons of God. Now, Father, we would ask thee for thy help this afternoon, and we ask thee to bless the reading of thy word in thy worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, in the next 25 minutes or so, I would hope to just speak a little bit this afternoon about the sovereign grace of God. It's a topic that is, there really is no limit to it, and to take 25 minutes this afternoon to think that we've done any sort of justice to it would be ludicrous. So, but we'll just like to take a look at a couple of different things in an Old Testament book, the book of Ruth, and we're just going to read chapter 1 and look at a number of lessons that we can learn from it. It's a book that I've enjoyed. It is one of those books that for many years I had read very quickly and not paid very much attention to, but the more I read it, the more I could see myself in it, or see similarities in the characteristics of the people in it, and it was very informative, and it was also very refreshing. And if I could possibly create an interest maybe in some of those that are younger that maybe haven't spent time looking at some of the Old Testament books of your Bible, especially some of the small ones, there's an awful lot in them. Sometimes they're not the easiest reading, although we must say that Ruth is a very easy book to read, but it is well worth spending the time in. Because of the sake of time, we'll just read select portions from Ruth chapter 1 and try to read as quickly as possible. Ruth chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Malon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Malon and Chilion also died also, both of them, and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law, and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went out of the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return, each to her own mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Well, skip down in verses 10 through 13. There's the explanation of Naomi, why she wants them to return. We'll skip in, or jump into halfway down the verse number 13. For it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods, or unto her god, the god of the Moabites. Return thou also after thy sister. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, and it was in the beginning of barley harvest. And we trust the Lord will bless to us this rather lengthy reading of his word. The book of Ruth is a beautiful story to us of the absolute sovereign grace of God. We must admit, if we were reading through this book, and I'll take for granted, and I know that most here are very familiar with it, but the book of Ruth is really a book of contrasts. If we were to look through it and look through it in detail, we would realize that it is a book that explains poverty and wealth. There's sickness and blessing, famine and bounty. There's departure from Bethlehem and then a returning to it, a restoration. There's obedience and there's disobedience. Very, very many vast contrasts that are shown to us in this book. It tells us of Ruth, a Moabitish girl that is brought from a heathen nation, a nation that worshipped their own god, and one who is brought into incredible circumstances and brought into a future that she would never have imagined. The book tells us of the dealings of God with individuals in drawing them back to himself. God is a God of relationship. Now, it would seem, and I know most would comment, that the dealings of God with Elimelech were the judgmental or the governmental dealings of God with him. And I know that was dealt with very briefly last week in the ministry. But what we're looking at, and the point that was made last week, that not all the time when there is sickness or when there is death, that is not an indication that there has been the judgmental dealings of God in that case. But from what most would suggest, that it was this case in the case of Elimelech. But what we like to look at today is the dealings of God with Naomi and with Ruth. Obviously, first with Ruth, in bringing her from a heathen nation, bringing her to the land of promise, and bringing her into a wonderful relationship with the man that is the kinsman redeemer. And then secondly, to look at the woman Naomi, as she is brought after leaving that place of promised land and the house of bread, and going to escape the famine, and she returns, and it says that she left full and she returned empty. Nevertheless, she was restored to God. So God is bringing back a widow back to himself, back to her homeland, to enjoy the provision of the kinsman redeemer. It tells us of God's sovereignty in dealing with the affairs and what we may term the normal affairs, the day-to-day affairs of men and women of that day. God is not too busy to be interested in the normal, what we may call the mundane things of life. Things that we may consider, well, is it really necessary to pray about that? God is interested in the day-to-day affairs of our lives. This book tells us that God is a God of character. We understand and we can learn of his character in this book. It brings out truths of salvation, of redemption, and of restoration. And if we were to read further on to chapter 2 and chapter 3 and right through chapter 4, we would learn more of this kinsman redeemer, one who would give us a bit of a picture or a bit of an idea of the character of our Lord Jesus Christ that was to come. So we'd just like to quickly look at the setting of this book, and we'll have to move very, very quickly. The setting of this book, verse 1 tells us, is that it was during the time of the judges, the time that the judges ruled. There was no king in Israel. And if we were to read in Judges chapter 6, we would read that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. If we were to read, I believe it is in chapter 17, it says, Judges 17, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a time of absolute anarchy. There was no order, and no reverence and no fear of God. It was a time of disobedience and a time of departure. And we may consider that possibly to be similar to the world in which we live. We work amongst men that curse God and use his name in vain. We live in a world that when we go out with the gospel, there isn't the response that we like to see. There isn't the fear of God in the hearts and the lives of men and women today. And yet, we see that even in this time of declension and in departure, God is dealing, and God is dealing with men and women. It is quite staggering to think that famine here has hit Bethlehem, Judah. It is a place of bread, a place of plenty, the promised land, and yet God seems to be dealing with this land. What a tragedy that there would be famine in the house of bread. Yet we can consider, as we can relate to today, even in a time of departure, there are those that do fear God, those that do want to follow what God has as important, and those that are a faithful remnant and fear his name. We could look at the book of Ruth prophetically, and we could view possibly the departure of Elimelech from the promised land as the breakdown of testimony in the land of Israel. We could look at Naomi possibly in the sense that as the nation of Israel in the present day departed from the land and scattered throughout the nations of the world, but yet one day to be restored to himself and to their homeland. Ruth pictures for us a Gentile bride who was brought in because of the grace of another and through the dealings and the grace of God, and could be a little bit of a picture of us, or for us, of the bride of Christ, which would be mainly made up of Gentiles. Boaz is a bit of a foreshadowing of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did. And we could possibly look at the unnamed servant, I believe is in chapter 2, as the work of the Holy Spirit of God. But there's not time to go into any of that. Just to summarize the first chapter, chapter 1, we break into the story, and the setting obviously is Bethlehem, Judah. And as I'd mentioned, a house of bread, a place of plenty, and yet it is struck with famine. There is a family of four that we learn of, Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons, that decide to make the journey of about 50 miles towards Moab. They are leaving the house of bread. They are leaving the promised land, the land that God had given to them. And it's interesting, as they would travel over to Moab, would they have crossed the Jordan, and would they have crossed in a similar location that Elimelech's forefathers would have crossed years before? But Elimelech was going the wrong direction. They had crossed into the promised land, his forefathers had, and yet now they are leaving Bethlehem, Judah. And we may ask, well, was the famine really that bad? Was it not possible for them to stick it out, we may say? I mean, after all, we would read in chapter 3 and chapter 4 that it would seem that Boaz had stayed in Bethlehem, Judah, and it records for us that he was a man of wealth. He had obviously survived the famine. Couldn't they have? Possibly the move to Moab was something that was very temporary. If we were to look at the word and the meaning of the word, it says that they went to sojourn there. So it implies that they were not there for a long period of time. Maybe they had planned to go down to Moab and just stay there until the famine was done, just for a slightly easier life. And then once the famine had passed, to return. It could possibly be so. But it may remind us that when we move outside the will of God, and when we move outside of the direction that God has given to us, or the direct commandment of God, that when we move away, we can tend to stay away far longer than we ever had anticipated. We continue on in chapter 1, and we read the very, very sad story. Not long, it would seem, after they arrive in Moab, Elimelech dies. And then we're not too sure how long it was between, well, obviously, after Elimelech dies, his two sons marry the Moabitish women, Orpah and Ruth. And sometime after their marriage, those two boys died. And Naomi is now left widowed and childless. And Naomi hears and understands that the famine, so 10 years has gone by now, and Naomi understands and hears possibly from those that would travel through, maybe trading or selling things, that the famine is now past in Bethlehem, Judah. And she would consider returning to the place that she had left. There's points that I'd like to bring up both about Ruth and of Naomi, and the story of the two are so intertwined, and to keep my thoughts orderly, I will look at Ruth first and then secondly at Naomi. Naomi starts out for Bethlehem, Judah, and at some point along the way, Naomi tells her two daughter-in-laws to return. It had been commented by one that it may have been an Eastern custom for those that are departing or leaving for another nation, for those of family or relatives to accompany them until the borders. Possibly, we're not too sure. But anyway, Naomi's two daughter-in-laws accompany with her part of the way. And then Naomi tells the two of them to return. Naomi is not able to provide them a future in Bethlehem. Naomi is not too sure what she is to expect when she does get there. Will she be accepted? After all, will they even recognize her? She's been gone for 10 years. She had nothing to offer them. Was she able to support herself, and was she able to support them when she did get back? The many questions that would have gone through her mind. If we were to read through chapter 1, we would get the impression that Naomi feels very responsible for, we may say, the misfortune or the tragedy that has befallen both of her daughter-in-laws. And she compels them to go back. And Orpah returns, and Naomi says unto Ruth, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has returned. She has gone back to the land of Moab, back into the god of Moab that they had worshipped." And Orpah is never mentioned again in such stark contrast to Ruth. But Ruth will not be persuaded to return. And she says those words in verse, the end of chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, "Whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." During those 10 years, and obviously a shorter amount of time, during the time that Ruth would have known Naomi, there must have been communication from Naomi to Ruth. Naomi must have told Ruth of the God of Israel, how he had possibly dealt with them in years past, and had brought them into that land of plenty. Ruth had come to know, to some extent at least, the God of Israel. She follows Naomi to this country, back to Bethlehem, Judah, to a people that she doesn't know, to a future that is completely uncertain. If we were to read in chapter 2, we would learn much of her character. She begins to glean in the field of Boaz, and there she finds protection, she finds provision, and she finds refreshment. And as we could read on through chapter 2 and chapter 3, we would read how she is brought into this wonderful relationship with this one that is the kinsman redeemer. Notice the number of times that, I think it's 5 times in the book of Ruth, that Ruth is mentioned as Ruth the Moabitess. And I had wondered why that was when I was reading through it. And it was suggested that she always kept in mind her lowly origin. She always kept in mind that she was from Moab. And may it be so with ourselves, that we may always remember where we were saved from. We have nothing in ourselves. We have nothing in salvation. We had nothing to offer God. We had nothing to present to him to try to attract him by our good works or anything that we had in ourselves. We were sinners, and we've just simply been saved by the grace of God. Ruth always remembered that she was Ruth, the Moabitess. Can't we compare ourselves today to Ruth in a way? We were far away from God in our sins. We were not part of God's chosen people, the people of Israel. We had no merit within ourselves that we could deserve any attention from our Redeemer. And we were like Ruth in that we had absolutely nothing to offer of ourselves. You would notice in chapter 2, as Ruth goes to glean, just so that she can provide for herself and for her mother-in-law, that she goes and gleans in the field of Boaz, and she would appear there as a stranger from Moab. She does not know who he is, and yet Boaz knew everything about her. And that is something that touched my heart. When we came to Christ, or as we were slowly brought by the Spirit of God towards the Lord Jesus Christ, we really had no idea who he truly was. When we attended gospel meetings and it was slowly revealed to us, this is who Christ is. This is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. This is what he has done. And for a time, we were darkened to who he truly was. And yet all along, he knew who we were. He knew our background. He had known our lowly origin, where we had come from. And yet, as Boaz, knowing all of Ruth's past, everywhere that where she had come from and her care for her mother-in-law, there was a deep interest in his heart for her. And even though God knew what we were like, even though we had strayed far from him, there was an interest in his heart to bring us back to himself. We were attracted by that man that we were remembering this morning, that man of great wealth, the one of great character, that one that had the ability to redeem, the one who went to the cross of Calvary. It is needful for us to always remember where we were redeemed from and what we have been redeemed for. Ruth was brought into tremendous blessing through the grace of another. Who would have thought that this one of lowly origin from Moab could be brought into such blessing? And if we were to read on further, the end of chapter 4, we would read that Ruth became the great-grandmother of David, and then she's mentioned again. The only mention of Ruth in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 5, mentioned in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has plans. God has a plan for each one of our lives. And if we were each honest with ourselves, we would admit that there's been times in our lives when we've somewhat felt, I guess for lack of a better term, shelved. We felt that we've been put to the side. And maybe God isn't dealing with us in the way that he had in the past. It's not that he isn't wanting to deal with us. Maybe we're not as close to him as we have been. But there's been times in my life like that, maybe when we're not as close to him as we should be, where we just kind of felt set aside. But God does have a plan for each one of our lives, and he's working in our lives through sovereign grace to draw us to himself. So if we were to back up in the story, about halfway through chapter 1, Naomi has decided to return to the land of Bethlehem, Judah, or to Bethlehem, Judah, in that promised land. She had heard that the Lord had visited the people. The idea of the word visited is basically that God has graciously intervened. He has come in with blessing, and he is providing again for his people. The time in Moab had been long and had been very tragic. And as Naomi would have left, we could only imagine what would have gone through her mind. If we were to read the words here in verse number 6 of chapter 1, we would realize that there's a similarity between these words and the words of, Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son. Here is one that has come to herself. She has been away from the Lord, but she realizes that there is bread back in the land that God has promised. The prodigal son came to himself and he said that, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. And Naomi, in a similar way, recognizes that there is bread, there is provision in the house, or there is provision in the land that God had promised. And just as the prodigal son said in Luke chapter 15, I will arise and go, Naomi moves back to the land. I'm sure that as she is moving back to the land, there'd be a lot of questions that would go through her mind. She would wonder, what will the people think? After all, I had left. I've been away for so long. Will they accept me? And Naomi travels with her two daughter-in-laws. She would remember their entry into Moab 10 years earlier and all the hopes and the aspirations that they would have had as they would have entered. They were leaving a place that was struck by famine. They were coming to a land where they expected a better life, and they expected to be prosperous and to have a great family life. And yet as she moves back towards Bethlehem, she reflects on their aspirations as they entered, and yet recognizes that the 10 years in Moab had been filled with disappointments and struggles, loneliness, and there were three mounds of dirt that marked three graves. The road back to God, and each of us have known this to some extent or another, the road back to God, or the road of restoration, is never easy, but will always result in blessing. Naomi realizes that the Lord has been dealing with her. It says that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. She is grieved by her departure, but yet note that she is not embittered. It would seem from verse number 19, when they returned to Bethlehem, Judah, that there must have been a significant change in the appearance of Naomi. For the women of that city said, "Is this Naomi?" And Naomi's response is interesting. She says, "Call me not Naomi, but Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly against me." In verse 21, she says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." She says, "I went out full." It would have been very easy for Naomi to blame somebody else. And we may be able to justifiably argue in her place and say, well, it was Elimelech that went out. I was just submissive and I went. But it would seem from the reading of this chapter that she must have agreed with it. So she takes personal responsibility for herself going out. She said, "I went out." And that is the first step in restoration, to admit, "God, I was wrong. This is maybe what I thought. This is maybe what I thought was the right move, what I thought was the direction to go." But she says, "I went out full, but he has brought me back again empty." It's interesting that she refers to God as the Almighty. And we could look at this, or the meaning of the word, as a God that is strong and yet very, very tender, or one who succors. Naomi recognizes God as the God El Shaddai, the God of restoration and the God of recovery. At the end of the chapter, we will note the season that they come back into. It is a time of barley harvest, a time of plenty, a time of provision. Not only does Naomi come back, but it is a time when she is provided for by the kinsman redeemer. And when God draws us back to himself after periods, and they may not be large periods of wandering, just even in our weekly, daily and weekly lives, just times when we just aren't as close to him as what we should, when there are times when God brings us back to himself, it will always be at a time, like here at Ruth, of barley harvest, a time when there is plenty. God will not bring us back to himself till he bring us back to himself into a place of famine, a place where he is not able to supply. But he is able to bring us back into a place where we are able to enjoy again the wealth of what he is able to provide. So we trust this afternoon this may be a bit of an encouragement for you. If you haven't spent maybe much time in the book of Ruth, maybe try to read it over a couple of times. Picture yourself in it, and there may be some things that you can gain from it. We trust this afternoon that God will bless the reading of his word and the few comments made on it.